If you'll take your Bibles and turn at this time to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 is where we're going to be starting our message in just a moment. You know, we've been saying Jesus came not only to die for your sins, but also to help you with your problems. And how God offers you new life in Christ, and that with his power, you and I, we can change. And so that's our message series. It's called, Lord, I Have a Problem. And so in this series, we're looking at various problems and how God helps you with those problems. And today we come to the problem of fear. Fear. Does anyone here ever struggle with the problem of fear? Okay, you can probably all raise your hands. That's something we all face from time to time. And if you struggle with the problem of fear, then today's message is especially for you. But once again, it's for all of us. This is something we all struggle with from time to time. So we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Just one short verse, but boy, it's a good one. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The word of the Lord. Join me in prayer. Well, dear God, as we look at this verse and many others from your word on the problem of fear today, I pray, God, that you would speak to us, that you would touch our hearts, and that you would help us with this problem. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hurricanes. The economy. COVID. The election, wars, and rumors of wars. All you got to do these days, turn on your TV, listen to the radio in your car, you will easily find 100 reasons to be afraid. It's not that hard, is it? But you know what? We seem to have this a love-hate relationship with this emotion called fear. Right? We enjoy scary movies, right? We like the thrill of adventure. But none of us wants to be held captive to fear. It seems we like to be scared, but we don't want to be afraid. Interestingly, the most frequent command that you'll find in the whole Bible, three words, do not fear. Okay, over 300 times in the Bible, God tells us not to be afraid. That's a whole lot of time. So God knows this was going to be a problem for us, didn't he? And yet we still fear. So today we want to look at the problem of fear in our lives. And my prayer is that when we're done today, that you will be able to echo the words of King David in Psalm 34, where David said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Amen. So there's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out. It'll help you to follow along with the message. It lists all the scripture verses we'll be looking at today. And so that's a good thing to have. On the back of it, I've listed a number of resources that you might find helpful. If this is your big problem, all of us have at least one that's a big one for us. If this is your big one, you might want to look up some other resources to help you with that from God's word. So let's get started. We begin with the problem of fear. You know, fear manifests itself in so many ways. Some of the more serious ways include things like panic attacks, which are defined as sudden, brief episodes of intense fear. If you've ever had a panic attack, you know what that's all about. Phobias. Phobias are defined as persistent, irrational. I know you don't like that. You say, no, it's rational. It really is. But persistent, irrational fears of an object or situation that presents no real threat. Some of the most common phobias include things such as elevators, heights, bridges, spiders, snakes, clowns, flying or confined spaces. Napoleon Bonaparte, right? The great general, the great commander, not afraid of anything. Napoleon was afraid of cats. That was his fear. He would have been absolutely terrified by the internet today, right? All those cat videos. But you know, even aside from these more serious aspects, we all struggle with fear on a basic level. And in the most basic sense, fear is a problem. Why? because it makes us focus on our circumstances rather than on God, right? And there may be 100 reasons to be afraid, but there's always one reason not to fear. And that one reason trumps them all, and that is when you have God in your life. Okay, but we want to break this problem down a little bit further and to understand, why is fear such a problem in our lives? Why does God address it over 300 times in the Bible? So let's see what God's word says about this. First of all, fear is a problem because it can prevent you from serving others. That's the first thing on our outline there. It can prevent you from serving others. You know, we read from 2 Timothy earlier. Let me read Paul's full instruction to Timothy here now, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear," timidity, fear, "but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline." Why does God give us spiritual gifts? So we can serve other people in the body of Christ. Paul didn't want fear to prevent Timothy from using his gifts to serve others. And God has given each one of us, he's given us gifts for service. If you're a believer today, you have a spiritual gift. God has gifted you to serve. But you know what happens sometimes? Fear gets in the way. And fear can prevent you from developing your gifts and serving other people as God desires. That's the first reason fear is a problem. It can prevent you from serving others. Secondly, fear can prevent you from sharing the gospel. Well, that's a big problem, isn't it? You know, in some countries, people who share the gospel, they're risking their very lives when they share Jesus with someone else. In our country, you know, we mostly worry about what other people might say or think, okay? And yet we still give in to fear, don't we? You know, we find an early example of intimidation in the book of Acts. When the Jewish authorities tried to get the apostles to stop talking about Jesus, we read about in Acts chapter 4, then they, the Jewish authorities, called them, the apostles, in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking." I love that. We just can't help it. We can't help ourselves. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Tom Rainer comments on this verse. He said, you know, he said the early Christians had to be compelled to keep quiet. Christians today have to be compelled to speak. It's a problem. People need to hear the gospel, and our fear is a big problem in preventing that from happening. 1 Peter 3 talks about this. Peter says, "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." That's another reason it's a problem. Fear can prevent you from sharing the gospel. Thirdly, fear can prevent you from following God's plan. God's got a plan for you and for your life. Fear can prevent you from following that. God wants to lead us in bold and new directions, and we often hold back simply because of fear. Good biblical example of this is Abraham. When God wanted to form a people that he could call his own, he began with one man, Abraham. And we read in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country. Leave your people, leave your father's household, go to the land I will show you." And so Abram left, as the Lord had told him. That's got to be a scary thing, right? You know, you've lived in one place all your life, and God says you got to go. Scary to just get up, to leave everything familiar behind, to travel to a strange country, not knowing what's waiting for you there. Abraham responded to God's call, but what if he had given in to fear? What if he just stayed where he was? God would have had to work through someone else. You see, we don't want to be like the men of Ephraim, who, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. Isn't that sad? They had everything they need. They were equipped. They're ready. they turned back. See, God has good works for you to do. He has equipped you to do those works. But fear can prevent you from following God's plan. And then fourthly, fear can prevent you from taking a stand for Christ. We read about the people in Jesus' day. Many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. So you had all these people. Yeah, they believed in Jesus. They believed in him, but they were afraid to take a stand for him. They were afraid to go public with their faith. Well, think about Peter. Peter was so afraid he denied Christ three times. Afterwards, we read, then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. Now, I understand it's getting harder and harder to take a stand for Christ in today's world. And that's why it becomes so important, even more important, to get a handle on this whole problem of fear. Now, fear not only prevents certain good things from happening, it can also lead to bad things as well. We looked at four things it can prevent. Now, let's look at three things that it can lead to. Fear can lead to hiding from God. Hiding from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, God called to them in the garden, where are you? Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Fear can lead to sinful compromise. Proverbs 29:25 tells us, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Back to Peter, something Peter discovered much later in his life when he thought he had it all together, and then he was having fellowship with Jews and Gentiles, and he stopped eating with the Gentiles because he was afraid of this other group that Paul called the circumcision group. And that fear led to compromise. Compromised his faith, compromised the gospel. And then, of course, fear can also lead to just outright disobedience. Never mind compromise, disobedience. Abraham and Isaac both lied about their wives being their sisters. Oh, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Why? Because they were afraid for their own lives. Moses' brother Aaron built the golden calf. Why? Because he was afraid of the people. So fear can also lead to sin and outright disobedience to God. Now we're going to talk about dealing with fear in just a few moments. We'll get there. But first we need to spend a little time understanding this whole problem of fear a little better. Because the Bible talks so much about this, and there's so much we can learn. And one of the things we've been learning in our series is that there is a positive counterpart in Scripture for each of these problems that we struggle with, right? We saw that with anger. You know, anger is a problem, but then the Bible talks about righteous anger. There's a positive counterpart. When we talked about envy, we saw that there's such a thing as godly jealousy. When we talked about worry, we saw there's such a thing as godly concern. Last time when we talked about depression, we saw there's such a thing as godly sorrow. So what's the positive counterpart to fear? It's what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, which is overwhelmingly positive in the Bible. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom begins. That's where it all starts. Ecclesiastes 12:13 tells us, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So you might wonder, well, what is the fear of the Lord? Different people define it in different ways. I like a real simple definition. The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence and respect for who God is. That's what the Bible's talking about. The fear of the Lord is a deep reverence and respect for who God is. Who is God? God is infinitely powerful, holy, majestic, and great beyond all we can say or imagine. And the fear of the Lord, therefore, means standing in awe of God's awesome majesty. It is our appropriate response to God's being, and therefore it is the beginning of wisdom. And so we must never forget the awesome power and majesty of God. Hebrews 10 speaks of this. Hebrews 10:31 reminds us it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The fear of the Lord, that is a good and healthy expression of fear. But what about the negative expression of fear, the problem of fear that we're addressing this morning? What is fear anyways? Well, in one sense, you could simply say fear is a natural response to threat or danger. That's all it is. It's a natural response to threat or danger. Fear is similar to worry. We spoke about worry a couple weeks ago. But here's the difference. Worry has more to do with uncertainty, right? That's why we worry. We're not certain. Fear has more to do with when you're feeling threatened. There's a threat involved. Now, there is an appropriate fear response that God has built into your body that prepares you to deal with an immediate threat or danger. Okay? That's something God's built into you. It's good. God put it there for a reason. In fact, when we talked about anger, that was the very first problem in the series, we saw how the physical response attached to anger, in other words, when you get angry, the physical response you feel in your body, it's the exact same physical response attached to fear. The heart pumping, the rush of adrenaline, the body preparing itself for action. Exact same physical response. So the natural fear response, that can be a good thing. That can be a good thing when there's an intruder in your house, okay? Preparing you for action. It's gonna be a good thing when there's a bear charging you and your kids. A good thing prepares you for action. But you see, there's a difference between being afraid and living in fear. And God doesn't want you to live in fear. It's like Charlie Brown once said, I have a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time. We don't want to be Charlie Brown. You know, it's okay to be afraid when there's immediate danger. But God does not want you living in fear. So what are some of the things that we fear in life? David Jeremiah, in his book, What Are You Afraid Of? It's on your reference list. He lists 10 things in his book. We don't have time for that. But let me share with you 5 items this morning, things that we're afraid of. First, there's the fear of failure. That's a big one, isn't it? Fear of failure. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the talents? You know, the master gave 3 of his servants talents, money to put to work until he came back. First servant took the 5 talents he was given, turned them into 10. Praise God, that's awesome. Second servant took the 2 talents he was given, turned them into 4. Praise God, that's awesome. Third servant could have done the same thing, taken the 1 talent he was given, turned it into 2, and Jesus would have praised him as well. But what did he do? Buried it in the ground. Buried it in the ground. When the master returned, asked him, why? Why didn't you do something with the talent I gave you? He replied, I was afraid. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. You know, we can miss out on so much in life, so much of the good things that God has for you simply because of the fear of failure. Secondly, there's fear of loss. It's another big one, right? We fear losing our jobs. We fear losing our loved ones. We fear losing our savings. How many of you a week ago Monday checked out your 401ks and stuff to see how far it had dropped, right? Fear. And whenever we fear loss, we need to go to Luke 12 is where I like to go and hear Jesus' words to his disciples. This is so beautiful. He spoke to his disciples. He's speaking it to you and me this morning. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We don't need to be afraid, little flock. God's given you the kingdom. Thirdly, there's fear of harm, right? We fear illness, we fear injury, both to ourselves or perhaps to our loved ones. And when fearing harm, I like to go to Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91, take God's words to heart, where God says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Fear of harm. Fourthly, there's the fear of death. That's only natural, to be afraid of death or dying. And yet one of the reasons Jesus came to earth as a man was to free you even from this fear. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it says, since the children, that's us, have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And the good news of the gospel is you don't need to be afraid of death or dying anymore. Your times are in God's hands. Jesus is the good shepherd who will safely guide you all the way home. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can claim those beautiful words from Psalm 23 as your own. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now you'd think fear of death would be the worst fear, but there's an even greater fear. And that's the fear of that which comes after death. The fear of judgment. Hebrews 10 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And so there is a judgment that comes after death. And if you do not know Jesus as your Savior this morning, if you do not know Christ, then yes, you should be afraid. You should fear this judgment. But for those of us who do know Jesus, who have put our faith and trust in him, Jesus has already paid it all. He suffered the full penalty for your sins at the cross. There is no need to fear because there is nothing left to pay. That's the gospel. And so we've talked about the problem of fear, and we've talked some about understanding fear. Let me close now by sharing with you seven guidelines from the Bible that will help you in dealing with fear in your life. If this is something you struggle with, these guidelines will help you. Here we go. Number one, develop a healthy fear and respect for God, right? Fear of the Lord. We talked about that. Healthy fear and respect for God. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Max Lucado shares how when he was a kid, he was scared to death of the wolf man. The wolf man. And he was convinced that the wolf man lived in his house, just in the room right down next to the staircase. And he'd wake up in the middle of the night, he was thirsty, but he's afraid to go down to get a drink from the kitchen. So he'd go to his father's room, he'd wake up his dad. Lucado writes, says, Dad would then climb out of bed, arm himself with superhuman courage, escort me through the valley of the shadow of death, and pour me a glass of milk. And I would look at him with awe and wonder, what kind of man is this? When we're afraid, we should look at God, who is bigger than all our fears, and ask with awe and wonder, what kind of God is this? Derek Kidner writes, the fear of the Lord is the fear that puts all other fears in their places. When you fear God, you need fear nothing else. That's number one, develop a healthy respect and reverence for the Lord. Fear God. Number two, remember that God is with you. God is with you. You know, we said earlier, most common command of the Bible, do not fear. You know what the most common reason God gives you why you shouldn't fear? Says it over and over again. I am with you. Over and over again. Do not fear. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm with you over and over again. The prophet Isaiah shares some wonderful promises from God to his people. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 43, verse 2. We read this earlier. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Remember that God is with you. Number three, know that God loves you. Know that God loves you. One of my favorite verses as a child was Psalm 118, verse 6. It's a verse I must have learned in Sunday school somewhere along the way, but it just stuck with me when later on when I got baptized, I used this verse as my baptismal verse. The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Still a great verse after all these years. If God is on your side, then what do you need to be afraid of? If God is for you, who can be against you? You know, it was this kind of thinking that gave George Whitefield, he was an evangelist back in the 1700s, George Whitefield, the courage to keep sharing the gospel, even under great pressure. Let me read to you one of his journal entries from 1742, going back a ways. Each night he'd write in his journal about his experiences out sharing the gospel. This is what he wrote that day. I was honored today to have a few stones, dirt, rotten eggs, and pieces of dead cat thrown at me. I'm guessing that would be enough to stop many speakers today. Dead cat would probably stop Napoleon. That's all they needed to do to stop his army, right? But you see, Whitefield knew that God was on his side. And that made all the difference. Love conquers fear. 1 John 4 says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. How do you deal with fear? Know that God is on your side. Know that God loves you. Number four, grow in your faith. Grow in your faith. When Jesus and his disciples were out in the boat and they encountered that storm on the sea, Jesus addressed them. He said, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. It was completely calm. Here's the deal. Fear and faith cannot coexist. So when you grow in faith, what's going to happen? Your fears are going to go down. You grow in fear, your faith is going to go down. Grow in your faith. Remember when Adam and Eve hid from God because they were afraid? When your faith is in Jesus, you never need to hide from God ever again. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter how badly you've sinned. Doesn't matter how badly you've blown it. You never need to hide from God ever again. Ephesians 3 tells us, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's all through faith in Jesus Christ. Want to deal with your fears? Grow in your faith. Number five, meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Psalm 56:4 says, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. The psalmist knew that there was power in God's word. And when you spend time reading and meditating on God's word, that will also greatly reduce your fears in life. Got two more. Number six, be strong and courageous. You probably recognize those words that God gave to Joshua. Joshua was taking over the leadership of Israel from Moses. God said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God, here it is again, will be with you, right? God is with you wherever you go. There's so many examples we could turn to in the Bible of people who were strong and courageous in the Lord. Joshua, Caleb, Gideon, Deborah, David, Nehemiah, Esther, The Apostle Paul. You see, as Christians, we should be the boldest, bravest people of all. We can do anything God calls us to do because God is on our side. And that means we do not need to be afraid of anything or anyone. I love Proverbs 28:1. It says, the wicked man flees though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That's who we should be as followers of Jesus Christ. Fearless, moving forward, strong and courageous. And then finally, as always, we need to grow in the fruit of God's Spirit. This is where we end up every time. Because when your faith is in Christ, we've learned the Holy Spirit comes inside. He works in your life to change you, to change your character, to be more and more like Jesus. And when it comes to the problem of fear, there are three of the fruit of the Spirit that are especially applicable: love, peace, and self-control. Remember the verse we began with today. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. That power will give you peace, of love, of self-control, self-discipline. Peace, love, self-control. Grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Fear can prevent you from serving others, from sharing the gospel, from following God's plan for you, and from taking a stand for Christ. Fear can lead you to hiding from God, sinful compromise, or outright disobedience. But there's a better way. There's God's way. God wants you to choose faith over fear. And when you put your faith in Christ, Jesus not only forgives you of all your sins, but he helps you with your problems. And he has promised he himself will help you with this problem of fear. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. It encourages us. It helps us. Lord, we're sorry that we so often give in to fear in our lives. Lord, there's no need to. You're on our side. Of whom shall I be afraid? What can anyone do to me? Lord, I pray when the fear sneaks up and catches hold of us, we would look to your word. We would look to these wonderful reminders. We would remember the big one, do not fear, for I am with you. We would put our faith and trust in you and cast that fear aside. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.